Welcome to Ghost in a Valley podcast. I'm your host, Al Cooley. And today we're going to be talking about my very first encounter with a spirit slash ghost in 1967. I was 13 years old. I'll be talking about scratching in the wall, pounding on the wall, breathing inside the wall, footsteps coming up the steps, and nobody's there. Footsteps in the kitchen, nobody's there. Opening of the screen door and closing. A cold breeze swept around you. The grabbing of your ankle. And finally, the image. My mother, my father, my younger brother, and my younger sister, and myself moved into a rented home, 150 Ohio Avenue, Warren, Ohio. And from 1967 to 1972, we were petrified. I'm talking about my sister and myself. When I say the spirit, because I never seen what I was hearing. My sister did, and it only happened when my mom and dad went out dancing on the weekends. It never happened in front of my parents, never. So every time we would complain about our experiences of what was going on inside the house, naturally they did not believe us. There was always an excuse of what we were hearing. Pounding of the pipes, the wind blowing a branch against the side of the house, there could be a critter inside the wall. I mean, numerous reasons why these strange occurrences were happening. And they always had a good answer to everything that I threw at them. Keep in mind, I was 13 years old. When we moved in, my sister was 11. My little brother was three or four. And it started the very first night that my parents left. And it was just the pounding inside the wall. Like if you're laying in bed and the wall was right next to your bed, there'd be like somebody's pounding with their fist on the wall. I'm like, what the heck is that, you know? And it started out with that. And it was always just my sister and I that would experience all this. What I heard, she heard. But then one night, she claimed there was a young girl staring at her outside her bedroom door. Now, her bedroom was right next to my bedroom. I would always see like a vision of light that would go by. And that vision of light was off like to the side of my left side of my bedroom door, which would be my sister's bedroom. So she would say, "Do you see that? Do you see that?" And I'm like, "I see a light." But the girl was a young girl that was just staring at my sister outside her bedroom door. And it would be like she just floated back away, like she just floated past my bedroom door again. But I never seen the image. I just seen like a light. And then the next time my parents were out, and this happened over 5 years, a five-year period. There was scratching inside the wall. Then there was breathing, like right next to my ear. My sister didn't hear that. So sometimes I heard things that she didn't hear. And sometimes she saw things I didn't see. But the point being, there was something there. So I called my uncle up. My uncle lived maybe two blocks away. And he came over. And when he entered the back kitchen door, he was pushed from behind, like a solid push. He turned around. He's ready to fight. He was a roughneck. He was ready to fight. He was ready to get a gun, then shoot it. But yeah, I don't know how you shoot a something that's not there. But this was back in 1967. And he went outside, and it was snow. There was snow on the ground. So there was no footprints in the snow. But he heard, like, something going around the house. So he went around the house. Nothing's there. And he pushed again from behind. Now, my uncle, being my mother's brother, told my mother that there was something there the next day when he came back over. Back my story was, so to speak, he was, because they never believed me or my sister. And my mom says, "Where were you drinking last night?" You know, and he would say, "Well, you know, I had a couple, but I wasn't drunk," you know. And she would play it off, "While you were drinking, naturally you seen something, or you felt somebody push you, and there was nothing there." She always, my mother always played it off. There was nothing there. And I truly believe that she thought there was nothing there, because nothing happened while she was home, or my dad. Neither one of them seen anything or heard anything. Then one night I had a friend of mine who, we were really good friends growing up, and he moved out of town, and we still got together once every month and would stay at each other's houses. I stayed the night at his house, and sometimes he stayed the night at our house. So the first night he came over, and we ordered a pizza, and it's about 11 o'clock at night. It's a Friday night. We were watching something, a scary movie on TV, and my friend Tom, he's a big guy. Even at 13 years old, he was about 6'4". And the back door opened up, the screen door, and you could hear like the squeaking of the screen door opening up, and it shut. We both turned around, and the couch, the back of the couch was facing the back screen door. We turned around to look at the door, and there's nobody there. So my thought was maybe somebody's trying to get in, so I went back and locked the door, a little hook latch. Well, then there was footsteps behind us on the tile floor in the kitchen. You could hear the footsteps walking up to behind our couch we were sitting on. We turned around, and there's nothing there. Then like a really cold breeze just kind of like swept around us. Then the footsteps went back to the screen door. The screen door opened up again. Well, they must have unlatched the door, because they opened the door back up and the screen door shut. My friend Tom got up, walked to the telephone, and he called his parents to come pick him up right away. He was not going to spend another night in my house. And he never did. He never came back to that house. So now we have my sister, myself, my Uncle Russ, and my friend Tom, who were witnessing these events. Now Tom's mother worked with my mother in the factory. They weren't really good friends, but they knew each other through Tom and I being friends. So Tom's mother told my mother about the incident when Tom stayed at our house. My mother said, "Well, you know, kids will always make things up, or they're watching a scary movie and their minds play tricks on them." Again, to my mother, nothing happened. Every time when something happened, it happened in the evening. And normally it always happened when my parents weren't home. So one day that my parents were home, it was a sunny Saturday afternoon, and my dad asked me to go downstairs and get him a screwdriver. So I went down into the basement to get the screwdriver. And I felt like somebody was watching me. I don't know if you all ever had that experience where you feel like somebody's watching you and there's nobody there. Well, I hurried up and got the screwdriver, and I'm walking up the steps, and a hand grabs my ankle. Just briefly, grabbed it and let go. There's nothing there. I ran up the stairs. I said, "Man, there's something," and it just grabbed my ankle. Now I'm getting a little bit pissed off because, you know, event after event after event, and I'm being played off like either I'm crazy or I'm making this stuff up. Well, my dad went downstairs, turned on the lights. There's nothing, there's nobody down there. Nothing. Another incident where I'm making things up. Well, then my dad's brother came to stay with us for about a month while he was looking for an apartment. And my Uncle Nick claimed he was pushed, breathed on, and grabbed while he was in the house. And he came right out and told my mother, this house is haunted. And again, she played that off. So it's like event after event after event. And it's, like I said, this went on from 1967 to 1972. We're getting to the end of our stay at the house. My parents bought another house, and we were going to move. Keep in mind, I never seen this image. And really, the image was never, the spirit was never violent with us. It might have pushed my uncle, both my uncles, and grabbed my ankle, but it was never physically harmful to us, especially to my sister and myself. Never physical with us. I think that the young girl was my sister's age, and she just wanted somebody to contact. And after, oh, and I'll get into more of that later too, but you know, they always pick who they want to have a contact with, you know. And if you're a paranormal investigator, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it was the last night that my parents went out that weekend before we moved. It was that night that the image was back in front of my sister's bedroom door. Now we're 5 years older. The image never got older. The image was still the same. My sister says, "Do you see her?" As soon as I turned and looked towards the door, she was at the foot of my bed, looking right at me. And honestly, I wasn't scared. I wasn't afraid. I almost felt like I was going to miss her. It's really a strange feeling. Like, she wasn't something to be afraid of. And then next thing I know, she was gone. Well, the next weekend when we were moving, the landlord came over and he was giving back my mother her security deposit. I was standing next to my mother when the landlord said, "I'm really going to miss you people living here because you were good tenants. And I'm surprised you stayed as long as you did." And I was kind of puzzled by mother by him saying that. And I remember standing right there and listening to everything. And my mother says, "Well, we really enjoyed it, but the kids kind of always thought this house was haunted them." And I knew they're ridiculous, you know, and it's a stupid thing that they were teenage years or they're going through. And I never will forget this, when the man said, "But there is something there." And every tenant that I had rent this house has seen or heard her. And my mom's not saying nothing. She's just staring at him. And he said there was a young girl that hung herself in the attic. She was around 10 years old. I believe it was around 1899, so it was a really long time ago that this young girl did this. She makes herself noticed to not to every member of the house, but at least one person of the house. In our case, it was my sister and myself. He left, and my mom said, "He is totally whacked," you know, so she didn't believe him either. But I was so freaking relieved that, you know, finally an adult, besides my two uncles, finally there's an adult that believed us, that backed us. Well, about 30 years go by. My sister's working in her job, and she had clients that came in. And one of the clients that came in, he was giving his address to her, that he had moved, and he moved to a new address. And she had to know the address he moved from and where he went. But he had said that he used to live on 150 Ohio Avenue. And my sister says, "Oh, I lived there." You know, not being scared or putting on that it was a spooky place. That she was just excited that somebody else lived in the house she lived in. He says, he leaned forward to my sister, and he was a big biker guy. But he told my sister, he says, "Was that place haunted when you lived there?" Now, this sent chills up my sister's spine, you know, like, oh my God, this is 30 years later. And he says, "Was it violent?" My sister said, "It was never violent." He goes, "Oh, it was so violent with,
with me.
I throw a lot of biker parties. We have really, you know, some good parties. Sometimes it gets out of hand. And evidently, whatever's there did not like us. And it would throw knives off the counter. Pitchers would fall off the wall and hit us in the head. I mean, it was very, you would get hurt. One night, the whole couch picked up on one end and just dropped. We eventually moved out. And as soon as my sister got home from work, she called me to let me know about this incident that happened 30 years later. Within a few years after that, the person that was living in the house, I believe it was a new landlord, and the house burned down, and the landlord was inside the house, also died. Now, the problem being is I wish I had more information about that house, and I come to a dead end every time I investigate. It comes to a stop around 1920, even though they know the house was built in the late 1800s. I just drove by the area not long ago, and I still get the, I don't want to say the creeps, but it's, you get a funny feeling, or I get a funny feeling when I drive by there. There's nothing there, still an empty lot. You would never even guess that there was a house there because the driveway's gone and everything's gone. I'm your host, Al Cooley, Ghosts in the Valley, a member of the Indie Blast Podcast Network.
Podcast Network.